This is Ronald Coleman, inviting you to radio's most dramatic half hour, Favorite Story. The captain of an 18th century sailing ship was absolute dictator, with life and death authority over the men he commanded. His word was law, there was no appeal, and the man who disobeyed could be hung by his neck from the highest yardarm as a warning to others who might contemplate mutiny. Our favorite story this week is a true adventure, probably the most famous mutiny in the history of sailing ships on the seven seas, the Mutiny of the Bounty. The records of the British Admiralty depict Captain Bligh as a great hero. He received the gold medal of the Society of Arts. He was honored by Lord Nelson for his heroism. And he attained the high rank of Vice Admiral of the Blue. But despite the official records, there are reasons...
During career, I myself first shipped as cabin boy at the age of 9 years.
Will there be danger, Mr. Bligh?
Mother.
There is danger in any voyage, Mrs. Hayward. Now, Mr. Hayward, do you have everything in readiness to depart?
Aye, sir. My chest is all ready. Goodbye, Mother.
Peter. Here. Here is your father's Bible and my prayer book. Take them with you. Be a good boy, and God speed you home again.
This is Mr. Hayward, who will serve as midshipman during the voyage of the Bounty. Mr. Hayward, these are your fellow officers.
I'm Morrison, boatswain's mate.
I'm pleased to know you, Mr. Morrison.
And this is Mr. Fryer, the ship's master.
Your first voyage, Mr. Hayward?
That's correct, sir.
Well, lad, you could not serve under a better captain than Lieutenant Bligh.
And this is our first mate.
Fletcher Christian, welcome aboard the Bounty, son. If you need any help or any advice, call on me.
Thank you, Mr. Christian.
That is all, gentlemen. You'll return to your duties. Have everything in readiness to sail at sunrise. Good day, gentlemen.
Mr. Bligh.
Well, Mr. Christian?
Aren't you going to tell us the purpose of our voyage, the cargo, our destination?
I am captain of this ship, Mr. Christian, and I shall tell my crew only such information relating to my orders as seems in my opinion to concern them. Is that clear?
Are we to infer that you do not trust us with this information?
You may infer whatever you like. You will sail the course which I prescribe. When it is necessary for you to know certain things, Mr. Christian, I shall tell you. You are all dismissed.
Lieutenant Bligh.
Dismissed!
Yes, sir.
Mr. Hayward.
Yes, sir?
Mr. Hayward, before the Bounty sails, do you think it would be fitting for me to go ashore to bid farewell to my good wife, Mrs. Bligh?
I do, sir.
And do you think, Mr. Hayward, that it would be fitting for me to take Mrs. Bligh some small present or token on the occasion of my departure on this long voyage, some provisions or supplies of some sort?
I should think it proper, sir.
Then you will ask the steward to stow a large cheese. Two large cheeses and a small cask of vinegar in the longboat for me to take ashore as a gift for Mrs. Bligh.
I shall attend to it, sir.
Stop that. We shall get on, Mr. Hayward.
Mr. Christian, I know where we're going.
No?
The captain told my mother just as I was leaving home.
Well, it's common knowledge, lad. I don't know why old Fuss and Fury won't tell us about it. When we round Cape Horn, we'll cross the Pacific to Tahiti. Then we'll load the hold with a cargo of young breadfruit trees.
Breadfruit trees?
Then we'll carry them to the West Indies, plant them, and set the Bounty's course for England again.
Why do they want breadfruit trees in the West Indies?
Well, the breadfruit's a cheap diet. It grows all the year round. The British plantation owners in the West Indies can feed breadfruit to their workers and their slaves and save the expense of growing potatoes for them.
Oh, I see.
People in the West Indies will be cursing us for centuries. Ever taste a breadfruit?
I think even breadfruit would taste good to me right now.
You don't like the food the old man's giving us?
Does anybody?
Well, if you're hungry, at least you have the satisfaction of knowing that 44 other men aboard the Bounty are just as hungry as you are. As for the 45th man, well, I think old Bly keeps his gullet pretty well filled.
I've never tasted such bad mess. The dried beef must be horse meat.
Mule, more likely.
Richard?
Yes, Lieutenant Bly.
Have all hands drop to work. Some of the officers and men send them aft. I want to speak to everyone.
Aye, sir. Mr. Haywood, call the hands from below.
Aye, Mr. Christian.
All hands
on. All hands above deck, Captain Rodman. All hands on deck. All hands reporting, sir.
Hear me. Every man jack of you. Is there grumbling on board the Bounty? Is anyone dissatisfied with his provisions?
Yes, Lieutenant, we are dissatisfied.
Be so good as to make your complaint, Mr. Christian.
The pumpkins you've ordered us to eat instead of bread, sir. They're all spoiled.
No?
The beef is too tough for a man to cut with his teeth.
I see.
And your oatmeal, sir, is thinner food than salt water.
Do other officers and men share Mr. Christian's views? Well, speak up! Tell me, Mr. Christian, who is captain of this vessel?
You are, sir.
Then the vessel will be run according to my orders with no questions asked. It is needless for you to complain to me, for I am the fittest judge of what is right and what is wrong. There shall be no redress, and I shall flog the first one who dares to make any complaint to me.
But, Mr. Bly...
Mr. Christian, you will give that man 15 lashes? I will have no insubordination aboard a vessel in my command. As penalty for this grumbling, rations will be reduced to 2/3. Butter will no longer be served to officers or men.
This is very harsh, Lieutenant.
I'll make you eat grass, sir, or anything you can catch before I've done with you, Mr. Fryer.
Aye, Lieutenant.
Mr. Fryer. What was it you reported to me about the cheeses?
Two of the large Yorkshire cheeses are missing, sir.
They were obviously stolen by some member of the crew.
But, Lieutenant Bly, those are the two cheeses that you...
Stolen, Mr. Haywood. Your captain tells you they were stolen. Unless the man who has taken those two cheeses from the ship's store returns them, there will be no more cheese served to the officers and men for the remainder of the voyage. Silence! Do you dare grumble at me? Now get to your stations, every blasted man, jack of you. With a fair wind, we can round Cape Horn tonight. This is your watch?
My watch, sir.
Will we raise our Tahiti the third day from now, Mr. Christian?
Unless this wind makes us haul down the topgallant sails.
You expect a storm, Mr. Christian?
I expect a storm, sir.
A severe storm, Mr. Christian?
By every indication, Lieutenant, we are in the track of the worst storm you or I have ever remembered.
Good night, Mr. Christian.
Good night, Mr. Bly.
HMS Bounty. While we were in port at Otaheite, we all purchased coconuts from the natives. I was among you. Some of the coconuts which I purchased have been stolen from my cabin. Mr. Fryer.
Aye, sir.
How many coconuts did you obtain in port?
11, sir.
Mr. Haywood?
6.
Mr. Molson?
14 coconuts.
Mr. Christian? Mr. Christian? State the number of coconuts now in your possession.
I really do not know, sir.
How many did you purchase?
Several. I don't recall exactly. Surely, Mr. Bly, you don't think that I would be so petty, so small as to steal some of your coconuts?
Yes, I do think so. You must have stolen them from me, or you could give me a better account of them.
You accuse me?
Yes, I accuse you. Why am I plagued with such officers? Thieves, all of you, you're in league with the men to rob me. You'll steal my yams next. I'll flog you, Mr. Christian, and make you jump overboard before we reach the Endeavor Straits.
I am not accustomed to such language or such treatment, sir.
No? Well, you'll grow accustomed to it under my command. Mr. Samuel, confiscate all coconuts on board ship. Cut the allowance of yams to 1/2 pound per person.
What?
A 1/4 pound if any are missed. Is that understood? Now go below, all of you.
Lieutenant. Bly.
What are you doing in my cabin?
Get out of bed. Get dressed.
I give the orders here, Mr. Christian.
No longer.
Mutiny?
Call it what you like. I have taken command of the Bounty. And if you interfere with me in any way, I shall not hesitate to fire a ball directly through your head.
Favorite Story is bringing you an eyewitness account of the mutiny aboard HMS Bounty, based on the diary of one of her officers, Mr. James Morrison. William Conrad is Lieutenant Bligh. Lon McAllister is Peter Haywood. We are now in the wastes of the South Pacific, in that gray half-light before sunrise. The sea is utterly calm, the sky slate gray, and they blend at an unseen horizon. The sails of the Bounty hang dead and lifeless, and she looks like a painted ship upon a painted ocean. But this is the morning of April the 28th, 1789, and there is something stirring below decks aboard the Bounty.
Seamen and officers of the Bounty, gather aft. I have something to say to you.
This man is no longer an officer of this vessel. I have stripped him of his command.
Correction, Mr. Bligh. It is you who have been stripped of your command.
Must I stand here with my hands fettered behind my back while you drag me about by a cord? Like a dog on a leash. I'll not undergo this indignity, sir. I'm an officer in His Majesty's service.
Mamu, Mr. Bligh, Mamu.
And what does that mean, Mr. Christian?
In the language of the people of Tahiti, sir, it means silence or death will be your portion. All hands, hear me. I, Fletcher Christian, have taken command of the Bounty. We shall carry Lieutenant Bligh as a prisoner to England to answer for his maltreatment of officers and crew.
Huh? It's a warm welcome the Admiralty will give you at Plymouth Home, Mr. Christian. They have ropes for mutineers.
We have just complaint against you, sir.
You have no complaint, Mr. Christian. My word against yours. Which do you think they will believe, Captain or mutineer? Now untie my hand, set me free.
No, Lieutenant Bligh. I've borne all the insult and degradation I can take from you. I'll not be starved and sworn at for another year. What say you, men?
Mr. Christian, if you do this thing, you can never go back to England.
So I shall never go back. Churchill, keep a weather eye on the carpenter. He's up to something. I want to avoid unnecessary bloodshed.
Where's the arms chest, Mr. Bligh? We raise a party and retake the ship.
Good man, Mr. Fryer.
The arms chest is in my possession, gentlemen. And all firearms are in the hands of men who are loyal to me. Mr. Bligh, you will prepare yourself to leave the Bounty.
What?
Mr. Morrison, lower a boat.
Aye, aye, sir.
Mr. Christian, you would set me out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean in an open boat?
You have brought this on yourself, Lieutenant.
Such an act is murder. I'll have no part of murder.
Very well, Mr. Fryer. You shall go with Lieutenant Bligh on the cutter.
No, no, we will die for sure.
Take your choice. I leave it to every crew member, officer, or man, whether he wants to throw his lot with Mr. Bligh or with me.
Mr. Christian. This is a joke, Mr. Christian. A game you play.
You may go below, sir. Your hands will remain tied. Take which supplies, provisions, personal effects you may wish. The men will help you stow them in the boat. 15 minutes from now, you will be master of a vessel again, a vessel 19 feet long, and with no first mate whom you can curse and smear with petty charges. Churchill, take him below.
Mr. Christian, what shall I do?
Follow your conscience, Mr. Haywood, as I follow mine.
I want to stay with you, Mr. Christian. I hate the captain as much as you do. But I can't be a mutineer, sir.
You're not a mutineer, lad. I'll swear on the highest court of England that you're as innocent of mutiny as I am guilty.
Will they have a chance in the open boat?
They'll have a chance, a bare chance. It's a large ocean, Mr. Haywood.
Shall I go or stay?
It is a great pity, lad, that this should happen to you on your first trip to sea. You're not out of your teens, are you?
No, sir.
Then I say, choose life. You'll be closer to life with us on the Bounty than you will be with Bligh in an open boat.
I beg you, reconsider, man.
I've considered and reconsidered, Mr. Fryer. There's a basic dignity to living creatures. And those who flout that dignity and trample it deserve less favor from their fellow men than we're granting the lieutenant.
Some respect, sir.
Have you made ready, Mr. Bligh?
Aye.
Now, down the ropes with you, sir. Let's have this business done with.
Mercy, Mr. Christian.
Your boat is waiting, sir.
Upon my honor, Mr. Christian, I'll give my word never to think of this if you let me stay.
Your word, your honor? If you had any honor, Lieutenant, things would not have come to this extremity.
Consider my wife and family.
If you had any regard for your wife and family, you should have thought of them sooner.
For blessed human charity.
What do you know of human charity, Mr. Bly? Up and down, mates. Cast off. Have done with it. God save you, Mr. Bly.
God save you, Mr. Christian.
Journal of Lieutenant William Bly, entry of Wednesday, April 29, 1789. Reached the island of Tofoa. The shore is so steep and rocky that it is impossible to land. Entry of Saturday, May 16. Dark, gloomy weather. I've resolved to try to reach the Dutch settlement at Timor, which is a full 1,200 leagues distant. This night has been truly horrible. Not a star to be seen, so that steering was uncertain. Journal of Lieutenant William Bly, entry of Friday, June 12. Sighted the island of Timor, bearing from west-southwest to west-northwest, 41 days after having been set adrift by the mutineers of the Bounty, and having traversed 3,618 miles. I'm extremely weak. My legs and arms are swollen. I have allowed myself only a teaspoonful of water per day, and my lips and tongue are parched with thirst. Sunday, June 14. This is the happiest day of my life. After hard rowing, arrived at the town of Kupang and slept the sweetest sleep that man ever enjoyed. Shall embark immediately on board a Dutch packet boat bound for England. Captain Bly, madam, your humble servant.
Where is he? What happened? We got such confused reports here in England.
You will forgive me, madam. I do not seem to recall your face.
And Mrs. Haywood, Peter Haywood's mother. How is my boy, Mr. Bly? He is well?
Madam, I have most distressing news for you.
Not dead? Oh, not dead.
I suspect that your son is alive.
He was not one of the mutineers.
One of the ringleaders of the mutiny?
No. Oh, not Peter, not my Peter.
It causes me untold anguish to reveal that your son's conduct aboard the Bounty, his ingratitude to me, was of the deepest dye, for I was a father to him in every respect.
Oh.
I beg you, Mrs. Haywood, to think of your son, Peter, as one who is dead.
Where is he? Will I never see him again?
I have no doubt that Mr. Haywood returned to the island of Otaheite with the other mutineers. The Admiralty has dispatched the frigate Pandora, 24 guns, 160 officers and men, to scour the islands for the Bounty and its crew. They will be brought back to England. Your son, perhaps, among them.
What will happen to him?
What usually happens to mutineers? He will be hanged. Good day, madam.
Court-martial will proceed now to investigate the charges against the prisoner Peter Haywood, late midshipman of His Majesty's ship Bounty. To wit, that he aided and abetted Fletcher Christian and other members of the crew to take over the Bounty from its rightfully appointed Captain William Bly by violence and force. The prisoner will stand.
With your permission, Mr. President, may I give my testimony without standing?
Why, Mr. Haywood?
My imprisonment on board the Pandora during the return to England was so confining that I'm afraid my health was affected. I've been quite ill.
Is this true?
Yes, Your Lordship, it's true. The boy is very ill.
Permission granted. The prisoner may testify from a sitting position. Mr. Haywood, describe your actions on the morning of the 28th of April, 1789.
Well, when I awoke, Mr. President, I came up on the deck of the Bounty and found considerable confusion. Mr. Bly had been bound and disarmed by the first mate, Mr. Christian.
Were you armed at this time, Mr. Haywood?
I carried no firearms at any time on the day of the mutiny.
But Captain Bly deposes under oath that you forced entrance into his cabin with a loaded musket.
With all due humility, sir, Captain Bly is lying.
Mr. President, would you take the word of this mutineer against mine? If this man was a loyal officer, why did he not raise the party and retake the ship on my behalf?
Great saints in heaven, sir, how could I?
He is only a boy of 19 years, Mr. Bly.
Why didn't you retake the vessel yourself, Mr. Bly? Mr. President, I plead my innocence in this cause. If I acted wrongly, please attribute it to my confusion and my inexperience.
In the light of your testimony and other evidence, Mr. Haywood, this court will exercise the greatest clemency in your case. We have only one other question. What of Mr. Christian? Why did he mutiny?
Because he was too much of a man to suffer the indecent treatment given him by the captain.
Again, I object, Mr. President. Who is on trial? The mutineer for myself?
Silence! Mr. Haywood, if this court releases you as a free and honorable citizen of the British Empire, which we are minded to do, tell us this. Would you help us find Fletcher Christian?
No, sir.
Well, where do you think Mr. Christian is at present?
On some island of the South Pacific, off the seaways. Perhaps on some coral rock, unmarked on our navigational charts. Mr. Christian is a man of resource, gentlemen. Though this may be held against me, I was proud to consider him my friend. He was as generous and tolerant as Mr. Bly is bigoted and tyrannical.
Again, I ask, am I on trial, Mr. President? I am already stopped, I object to this matter of treason.
I am.
For the more I consider it
ill-advised,
I am not to pursue this
inquiry. Silence, Mr. Bly. Continue, Mr. Haywood.
I say Fletcher Christian would have no defense before this court-martial for the rash act which he committed 2 years ago. And for this one tragic action aboard the Bounty, he must live out his life in exile and shame, 10,000 miles from England. But I should not presume to say which man, Mr. Bly or Mr. Christian, would fare best before that last and highest court which judges us after death. I can only say that before my Maker, I would throw my lot, as I did aboard the Bounty, with Fletcher Christian. May God help and protect him, as few men need divine help and protection. Amen.
You've just heard Mutineers of the Bounty, the favorite story of Mr. Walter Wanger, with Lon McAllister as Peter Haywood, Frank Lovejoy as Christian, and William Conrad as Captain Bly. Our congratulations to a fine cast for a memorable performance. Some of the descendants of the mutineers of the Bounty are still living on Pitcairn Island in the South Pacific. And one can imagine some great-great-grandson of Fletcher Christian fishing in the bay of Pitcairn Island, finding in his nets a rusty nail or a bit of ancient copper tubing, all that remains of His Majesty's ship, the Bounty, which ended its last voyage on the floor of the bay which bears its name.